Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. You know, it is our desire that you manifest all the things that you've come to know. Amen. Because you're sitting on a lot of knowledge, spiritual knowledge that has been given to you, that you owe the kingdom to manifest, so that it ceases to be just the realm of knowledge and something that you know, but rather that something that people know of you through observation. Praise the Lord. And now, it is my conviction, and I'm beginning to sense that as we enter into the next year, there is going to be a lot of such manifestation. That the things that we've been speaking about, and we have been talking about, some of them for years, but now we shall leave the talking for other people, because they shall be seeing those things in us. You know, 1 Peter 2:9 says that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may. Now, this is what King James. It says that you may show forth the praises of him who hath called you from darkness into marvelous light. That you show forth, not that you proclaim. That's the wrong translation. Anybody can proclaim. But yours is to show the praises. In other words, people look at you and praise God. Because you're showing forth his glory. Amen? And you know, from the beginning, that always was the will of God in his children, that you see, when we are the first thing that happens after they cross the Red Sea and a lot of those things, he says to the children of Israel that I'm going to set you apart as a special nation, and that everybody will look at you and know that your God is great, and your God is greater than all other gods. Amen. So now his purpose was to make Israel be the one thing or the one nation that people looked at and said, surely their God is superior. Now, so it is with the church today. We are supposed to show forth his praises. And now our purpose, the purpose of us going through a lot of these things, is to get the knowledge that you have and make it manifest, make it evident, make it undeniable, make it experiential, observable, that somebody can look and know that you indeed are a manifestation of God's greatness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what I sense this coming year is that there is a lot of preparation that we've been through, and now it is going to come out this time. It will be undeniable among everybody. Praise the Lord. And now it has to come out in one way. Because you see, the scripture says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. But now, he's not talking about just shaking the elements and the heaven and the earth and so on. He can do that, but that's not really the thing he's talking about here. Because if you look at, without even reading there, the context of this scripture is that in Haggai chapter 2, first of all, in chapter 1, the children of Israel had started building the temple and they got discouraged for one reason or the other. So they left it and abandoned it and went about their business. But then God sent for them Haggai the prophet. And Haggai told them that, do you see why you're suffering, why you're sowing a lot and reaping little, why you eat and not get satisfied, why nothing you have is ever enough? It's because you've abandoned the temple. But one of the reasons they had abandoned the temple is because they looked at it, and it did look all that. Actually, the scripture says when they built it, after the prophecy of Haggai, and they completed the building of it, and they looked at it, it said, the scripture says, that some of the older men who had seen the old temple of Solomon that had been destroyed by the Babylonians, And they looked at this temple. They started crying. Because this was a shadow, an absolute shadow of the other one. The other one was built with a lot of magnificence, gold everywhere, everything gold, hardly any silver. It was all gold. That was the glory of the other one. Now this one, God was telling them, go and cut wood and panels and come and build the temple. So now when people finished building the temple, they were underwhelmed, especially people who had seen the old one. And they remembered how glorious it was, and they looked at this one and they said, my God, is this how far we've fallen? That we've come from gold to wood? But now, the Lord says, that says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Then go to verse 7. Then it says, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Now, he talks about the desire of nations. And now that's a very simple thing. Because they are looking at it and they are underwhelmed because of how ordinary, apparently, it was, at least in comparison with what there was before. Now, of course, the younger people who had been born in exile didn't have anything to compare it with, so they were okay. But it's the older people who had seen the other one who started weeping. Just at looking at the temple, they start weeping. Now, then he says, I'll shake the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord. Now, he goes on to say what kind of glory is going to fill the house with. Eh? And this is why we are here now. Verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Now, he's telling them, don't worry about what you're seeing here. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. Now, the time of this scripture is repeated in Hebrews. Yet once more, and I will shake the heavens and the earth. And now, the actual shaping that is going to come and the desire of the nations, you are going to see what it is. And it is all about money. I'm telling you this because if you look at how the world has been shaped and how world opinion has been shaped, it is shaped purely by money. Amen? And whoever has money dictates what people believe. You know that? So you have people who have money dictating to Premier League clubs that all their captains should put on a rainbow thing for homosexuals. Why do they do that? Because they have the money. Amen? Okay, but now when God shakes as he is now, then you go and tell them, put on amber to say Jesus is Lord. And they will do it because you have what? Let me tell you, the way the enemy has actually, you know, spread his influence across the world, using a few of his servants who have a great deal of money, who, by the way, are going to be stripped and dispossessed. Because now it is time for the agenda of God. And now it is time for the children of God to understand his agenda and to know that all these things are agenda-driven. There is nothing that is purely silver and gold so that you enjoy. No, it is all agenda-driven. It is all about an agenda of God, as it is, by the way, in the kingdom of darkness. So they will make people do whatever they want because they have money. Okay? Yeah. But the money, as far as the Lord is concerned, the silver and the gold are whose? Are his. Now, his agenda is going to be ahead of the agenda of the enemy. Now, the agenda of the enemy has run its course, and we see what they want, we see what they desire, we see everything the way they want it, you see the oppression that they want, you see how they oppressed everybody here in the name of some virus and so on, and you see that that's the kind of oppression the devil wants. Now, everybody has tested it. There was a time people were not sure which direction they wanted to go. Amen? But now I'll tell you this. How do people like that come and get a country like Uganda and make us lock down for a sickness which 99.9% of the people who die are above 75? Uganda, the people who are above 75 are less than 0.5%. They are probably even less than 0.1%. Our average age is 16. That means almost all our country did not have any scare whatsoever from COVID. But they locked people down, people died of sicknesses, of hunger, of, you know, all sorts of things. Now, you see what's happening here. 15-year-olds sitting for P7 exams while breastfeeding. That is all the legacy of COVID. But because they get some money, and give your stupid leaders and tell them, take this money and knock everybody down, then they knock them down. But what if it is the people selected from among us who have all the money and they decide, no, how much are you getting from World Bank? This amount. We are giving you more. Don't knock down. Yeah. Now, that is, and I'll tell you this. It is so easy. Now you see the way everybody, you know, they, because of money, they can push everybody in any direction. Now, you know, everybody, now homosexuality, now transgenderism, now, you know, and all the agendas of the devil. I'll tell you this. It is very easy to change the culture. And this is what we are going to do.
Yes.
You think it's simple? The desire of the nations, I'll tell you this. Everywhere, people, the one thing people desire is wealth and influence. Period. And they will turn to the direction of wealth and influence like a sunflower turns towards the sun. When wealth and influence is here, this is what they will sing. Now you see all these NGOs which are across the country. They don't do anything that is of, okay, majority of them do very little that is of value to the real problems of the country. But the funders, until Kableta is the founder. You see, all you. And then we say now we are actually going to solve problems of this country. We are going to help teenage mothers. We are going to help people who are sick. The biggest killer in Uganda, did you know that? The number one killer in Uganda is malnutrition. Number one, malnutrition. And actually, a survey was done and said that every person, a majority of you, about 75% of us, are at least a few inches shorter than what we are supposed to be because of malnutrition when we are young. Okay? So you may find I would be the height of all. But because that Richard is masquerading with my height. But because of malnutrition when we are young, everybody's. Now, imagine if the funders are actually solving problems like that. Malnutrition. Okay? The number of women who give birth, who die while giving birth, alarmingly high in our country. Okay? These are the problems. By the way, let me tell you. If you see yourself as a problem solver and as somebody who has an agenda of God, which he will give you, I'm telling you, you will not have the problem of money. You will be a funder, not somebody looking for funding. You know, you go in this meeting, one of the biggest things, we are looking for funding, we are looking for funding. I'm telling you, very soon they will be coming to us for what? Yes. And let me tell you, these are the issues we want. Do you know? Let me tell you, there are things which a friend of mine was doing. We were doing our community work in I didn't go there. And a part of me says, thank God I didn't go there. But now this gentleman, they went to a certain place here in Kampala. Not far away. Just know somewhere around Nakawa, even before Champoko, you know, university, somewhere there. Now you see that road going to Jinja, downwards, facing this lower side. There is a place there. It's another world from what you know. Totally different world. So these people went for what they call Guruji Wansi cleaning up. And he was telling me. And they go and they are cleaning up a drainage that are those things they, you know, that are built, that carries all sorts of things, all sorts of filth. And some of the rubbish are fetuses of children. And it's not rare. It's usual. So you're cleaning, you know, filth, all sorts of filth. I will not mention here. Some of you are too dignified for this sort of thing. And then there's a fetus coming along, and then another one, and then another one, and then the people who are, everyone there is drunk. It only everyone there is drunk, and they have a circuit of worry. Because they need that to be sane. You see it? And now, we ask, what sort of help can we give you? And they said, the only help we need is for somebody to take out this rubbish. Because they are living in the midst of rubbish. Girls are getting pregnant at the age of 12 because they are looking for sanitary pads. Yes, in Kampala, in the city, sanitary pads. And some man who can give her sanitary pads for that, you know, period, gets her pregnant. Well, in any case, she won't need them for the next 12 months. Or until she does. And now that's the truth. And now when the guy was telling me, he told me, yes, this is somebody who is. So you're telling me they are. So one of the men they are cleaning with, his son comes. A young boy, around 6, 7, comes and tells him, Daddy, I'm hungry. Then the father doesn't have any money for food. So the father was drinking a sacket of water. So he gave him and said, you take that and go and what? You'll be fine. So the boy gets the sacket of this cheap liquor and goes to share with his brothers. The boy is 6 years. Now the guy who was telling me even started crying because he has a son who is 6 years. So when he saw that young boy, he was seeing his son. But yet, when the funders come, you know that you say it even made Uganda buy lubricants for homosexuals worth $1 million. But it was their money. We did have a choice. They were giving us about $300 million, but the condition was $1 million has to buy lubricants. Now, that's why I'm bored with you. The silver and the gold is cut. Like, that's why, let me tell you, when the funders are people who have an agenda of God, we shall know how, what they do. And God sends us to those people. Amen? And you become a solution. The trouble is, now for you, is changing you from being somebody who needs help to somebody who God is setting up to help others. Now that transition is what is going to make you very important in these last days. Because the minute you see yourself as a victim of some sort, you need help, you're useless to what God is planning to do. Because now imagine some of you might say you're broke, you're having issues, rent, and so on. Now imagine what I've just described and how does that compare to you? You see that you can be a solution? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, when you go to Ephesians chapter 4, I think, verse 428, I think. Ephesians 428. It says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. Or you go to New King James. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Praise the Lord. Now he says the purpose, the motive, number one motive, is you work so that you may have what to give those who have need. Now for you, you're thinking you are the only needy person. But as far as God is concerned, you're not. As I've shown you, and maybe I can tell you other stories which will shock you, which are happening in this city of yours. Shocking, shocking stuff. Shocking stuff. Now, he says that he may have what to give. I remember I told somebody one day was looking for a job. I told them that God says here that you work with your hands. So you want to work, but you don't have a job. But now if you want a job, first align your motives with what God says is the reason. So I say now when you go to pray for a job, say, God, I asked for a job so that I may have what to give those who I need. It didn't take him 1 month before he got a job. Praise the Lord. 1 month, he got the job. Because he aligned his motives with what God's done. Say, God, I want to work. You said that I work with my hands, but I don't have a job. Now give me a job that I may give those who I need. Bam! Suddenly you've connected to what God thinks or what God says are the real motives. And suddenly you have something to do. And suddenly you're no longer jobless. Praise the Lord. And now if you remain faithful to what you prayed for, the quality of job will go up and up and up and up. Amen? As long as you stay faithful, of course the problem is you can pray like this, and as soon as you get the job, your motives are totally different. And you need all the money for yourself. And I'll tell you this, there is nobody who gives who doesn't need it for themselves. Amen? And there is nobody who gives whom God does not give more, as long as they give with the right, with the right motive. So anyhow, so the silver and the gold are mine, he says. And I was telling you that the world is built, and I love this. They will always turn in the direction of wealth and influence. Wherever it is, you see those people who are doing all those things because servants of the devil who have a lot of money, they are going to turn very, very fast. And then the people turn very easily. Do not underestimate the speed at which people turn when they see that the good things are pointing in this direction. I'm telling you. Now you go to, let me demonstrate it to you from the scripture. Go to Esther. Now the book of Esther, I've told you this before. Very, very interesting book because it has so many lessons. But one of the lessons, one of the things I find fascinating about the book of Esther is it's the only book in the Bible that does not mention God or Lord in any way or form. You never see God or Lord anywhere in the book of Esther. But yet, it demonstrates his power. You see it? Without mentioning him. But, now, 1 minute. The Jews are in serious trouble because of a man called Haman. And their letters have gone out. On a certain day, all the Jews are going to be killed. And everybody, all the enemies of the Jews are celebrating and so on. And you know, the Jews are in trouble. You know the whole story. Now, of course, everything turns around. Go to chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. I'll start from verse 1. It says, on that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came before the king. For Esther told how he was related to her. So the king took off his stamp or his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai and Esther, and appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. Okay? And the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and this thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of that guy, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen? Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai, the Jew, indeed I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. Okay, go ahead. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Now you see, he has passed on the whole authority of the kingdom to Esther and to Mordecai. Now go to verse 16. Now, okay, they wrote the letters and sent them to all 127 provinces, which went all the way up to Ethiopia and Asia. That's how big the man's kingdom was, 127 provinces. So they sent horsemen in haste and told them, this is an urgent decree from the king. Take these letters. And now in the letters, they were telling the Jews to stand up to their enemies because they have the authority now of the king. They have the backing of power. You understand? Now, stand up against your enemies. Now listen, verse 16. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Read it again. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Okay, go to verse 17. Then he says, and in every province and city, where the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews. because the fear of the Jews came up. Now you see, that's how we say it is. So now because they have power, now all will be also Jews. But these people, a few days ago, we are plotting to kill them. But now it says all of them became Jews. Now that's how easy. That's how easy it is to turn people in the direction of power and influence. Amen? Amen. Now, that's what we are going to. Somebody say that's what we are going to. You see some of these people. Imagine. If Kableta is the biggest fan of our organization. You see that man, which that man uses, who is the biggest fan. You think? You wait and see what God has in store for us.
Amen.
You will see the difference between the little man. Amen? That is little man. You are going to see the shaking of the heavens as he promised. And the silver and the gold will be demonstrably God's and therefore his people's. Amen? Now, if God says the silver and the gold are his, he doesn't need them in heaven. There's a lot more where he is. There's a lot more where he is. The silver and the gold are staying here. Praise the Lord. Eh? And therefore are going to be in the hands of the people who have the purposes of God. And who are filled with accomplishing the purposes of God. And I'll tell you this. So many people have issues with, and the Lord showed me this some time ago, that if God can somehow get money through you, he will always get it to you. The trouble is, you become blocked. It comes, then it stays there. Then you say, let me fast do this. And then the pipe becomes blocked. And if you were a toilet, they would put out of what? Out of use. Because there's nothing left. Things are supposed to be flowing. Now, so now your pipe is blocked. So there's no point. But there is always, you know that scripture, Deuteronomy 8:18. What does it say? It says, Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as of this day. Now, the whole earth is about purpose. Now, if you fill your mind with what the purpose of God in your life is, and you demonstrate that you are in position to actually not just talk that, you know, if I get this, I'm going to do this. Let me tell you, like Jesus said, those who are faithful in little will be faithful in what? If you are not faithful in little, you are wasting your time. You are not going to be given much. Because you will still be, and if you are not faithful, brother, in little, you will not be faithful in a lot. But you see, there is a deception as soon as you say, Haman, yeah, I wish I had that money, I would change this, change that. What have you changed with what you have? First question. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says somewhere that if there is any winning heart, is first of all accepted according to what one has, not according to what he doesn't have. Get from me that scripture, very important. For if there is first a winning mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. Amen? Yeah. Now, you sit there and you say, if I had this much, I would have done this. No, God says, what shows that your mind is willing is what you have. What have you done? The little you have, little. What have you done? Now, that's the first challenge. Now, that is what is going to prepare you for the next level. If you think you are going to get there, then you run out, you're deceiving yourself. People are going to pass you by. Amen? And I have seen so many people being passed by here. I'm telling you, people have been passed by here, and I can guarantee you, so many will be passed by because their motives are not being straightened with the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you this. Somebody was telling me today, that when they started partnering here, they started with 300 shillings, Uganda shillings. 300 Uganda shillings, not 300,000. 300 Uganda shillings. Okay? Now that person is partnering with 15 million every month. That same person, 15 million every month. Now for you, 15 million is your dream job. It is somebody's partnership. Some of you have even stretched to you. 5 million is your dream job. Let me tell you, God is faithful. If you're faithful to him, he's faithful. Like, imagine somebody who came and said, here is my partnership, 300 shillings. And now, that person told me that after they had just paid their partnership, 15 million. And you tell me, let me tell you. Now, there is somebody who is ready for what God is going to do next year. Are you? Because now, when somebody has demonstrated that if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. So don't tell us what you don't have. We are not interested in what you don't have. Neither is God, by the way. He's interested in what you have. The issue of what you don't have, he can sort. What he can't sort is what you have. Because what you have has to come from your heart. So anyhow, so I actually thought about it for a while. I said, what? 300 shillings to 15 million? Now I'm telling you that the anointing to prosper is here. Some people did not believe it and they went searching, because I know that there are people. You know, this generation of ours has created such a lazy kind of people. Very lazy. Who will always argue around something until they end up doing what they want. You understand? Yeah. They argue around something. When something is not, they don't like it. They don't like the sound of it. They are uncomfortable with the result. What they will do is they will end up what? Arguing. But you see now, you see, it's because of this, because of that. Because, and now that the arguing is just a prolonged disobedience. You understand? Eh? And eventually they will end up remaining where they were. And they want God to change everything about them, around them, except themselves. God changed my financial situation, change this, change that, but don't change me. Yeah, I'm perfect like you. Now you're deceiving yourself, You have to change, you align yourself. If you're the kind of person, and I've seen that all the time, people, and now it's a societal problem. Okay? Even in all sorts of, people go and watch a football match, if they don't like the result, they argue, they cheat at each other. At the end of the day, they don't accept that their team is weak. and that's what they were trying to avoid in the first place. You see it? So there's an argument for everything. You tell somebody a fact that you know this is. And now when a society loses a sense of absolute truth, that they are going anywhere. Because there were things which we never argued about. Okay? And in our culture, we knew those things that you can't argue about them. For instance, we knew you don't answer back your parents. That's our African culture. You don't ever answer back your parents. And your parent is always right. That's our culture. And it's actually aligned with the Bible. Then, arguments came. Yeah, but what if? What if this? What if that? What if your parent is what? What if your parent? And the what ifs might actually be true. For instance, if somebody says, what if your parent tells you not to get born again and you want to get born again? But that is not their problem. If it was that, they wouldn't ask. Their problem is something else they don't want to accept. Okay? So they argue around everything. Yeah, now I've been seeing on the internet. Whether I've seen interesting things which happened. Now, I was reading some news about what happened on October 7th in Israel. And then actually found people saying that, no, actually, it is Israel who killed their own people to get Alexis to attack Hamas. And now they are people, like, they just don't want there's something which is there, the truth, they don't want it. So they will argue around it and believe what they want. Now, if you're that kind of person who cannot stomach something which is not good, because it might require you to change, I mean, Almighty you, how dare you change? Everything else around you has to change. My wife has to change, my husband has to change, my kids have to change. I can't change. Well, that's stupid. There's no better way to put it. That's stupidity. Wow. I'm telling you. Now, people will come and pass you by. Whom God is telling, I want you to change this, I want you to change that. And they go and go around the process of trying to change themselves. And then they align themselves with the purpose of God. And when they align, man, become a donor. Praise the Lord. And it is in, I should you that it is actually what the Lord is planning, eh? To turn around. And I want you to know one thing, that so many people say that, no, I can't. I mean, you know, there are these investment firms, eh? BlackRock, in charge of trillions of dollars. So if they don't want somebody, they just go and buy shares. If they don't like you, they buy shares in your company. And they force your company to do what they want. For instance, there was that guy on Fox News called Tucker Carlson, whom they did what. So what they do, they just go and buy shares in Fox News and say, now since we have a lot of shares, we want Tucker Carlson out. And then he has to go. You see, eh? Then they go to every company and decide. We want you to do this. We want you to do this. And they are forced to get everybody because they are investors. Now, imagine if somebody like you was in control of that sort of investment. Now, some of you will say, that's not possible. I'm just somebody from, you know, Uganda. But imagine. Then I also imagine that in all scripture, God has always used underdogs so that he has the glory. Amen? He gets the most unlikely people. Most unlikely people. And he says, this is the person. I'm going to use this one. And the only hindrance can be that person. And whether they can actually see themselves as such. But if they can, there is nothing God can't do. You see it? Like, I wish you would understand how much we need it, God. Now, somewhere, somebody, as I told you, is praying for a dream job of 15 million. But that is somebody's tithe. Sorry, some appetite, yes, but also partnership. And after they have been doing partnership, they have a lot more to lavish on themselves. So they are somewhere cheating and what, and for you, pray. And if only you were, if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has. 300 shillings, that's what I have. God, take it. It's what I have. God says, that's all. And that's the thing. These are my 5 loaves and 2 fish. I've given them to you, Lord. Multiply them. Then he just looks up to heaven. The next thing, your 300 shillings is 15 million. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a challenge, and I'm telling you, I'm saying this the third time here in this fellowship, because I want you to prepare for what is coming this year. Prepare your heart. Like, there is no limit to what God can do, except the limits that you set in your mind. Amen? Now, when I sit down and I'm thinking about how things are going to be, this end time, man, I am conscious of the fact that I serve the person who created the heavens and the earth, and who is in charge of everybody's next breath, who does not need to inquire from anybody. You understand? And I'm conscious of the fact that the people who have turned this world upside down serve a fallen angel whom I can step on, who has attacked me at some time, and I hammered him. You understand? So if I hammer their master, how can I not be greater than them? You understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
If I can make a public spectacle like the Lord did of him, you understand? Who is the master of Bill Gates? Who? So don't tell me about Bill Gates. Tell me about his master. You know, there was a time in there was a guy in Tanzania. When Magufuli was still a minister and Kikwete was the president. So there was this guy who used to do business, some shoddy business with Kikwete. So one day, Magufuli came and told him, you know what you're doing is wrong, and you should not be doing that. So the guy looked at him, you're a minister. I'm doing business with the president. You have no... So he told him in Swahili that siongei na umbwa, naongea na mwenye umbwa. That I don't speak with the dog, I speak with the owner of the dog. So the man kept quiet. Now, as things would turn out, in a year or two, Magufuli, who was the dog, is now the president. So the man just packed up his things and left the country. Because now the dog had become the owner. So now, for us, we don't talk with dogs. We deal with what? With all of the dogs. Now, my God, I wish you would just conceptualize this in your head. You understand? I wish you would just conceptualize it. That God is limited by us and by nothing else. And the path is the same. And I've spoken this before. Honor God. Amen? Honor the Lord. Put him above everything else. And see how... Let's read that scripture. I've spoken it before, but now let's read it. It's in 1 Samuel 2:30. It says that, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, the honoring the Lord, I've told you what it is. You understand? Just do that. And understand the principles of our kingdom, the kingdom that we move in. Just honor God and make sure that in everything, in that moment, you're honoring him. Of course, now I'm talking about in the moments of, you know, giving, but also in moments of, what do you really, really? There are so many ways of, you can express your honor towards God other than just saying, we honor you. Who do you trust? Who do you depend on? Can you really depend on God? Really? Because I've seen people who try up to some stage. Then when things are not changing, they turn around. And okay, they have tried, and I know I've been in that place before, but can you really honor God? Can you really trust in Him? Trust in Him. You know, I've met people who say that I must have some connection with the guys in power, because otherwise I wouldn't be saying the things I say, and I get out with them. And they actually honestly believe it. Because they don't believe that somebody can trust in God. You understand? Trust in what? Yes. Even when things seem to be going on, trust in God. I remember one time when they picked me and locked me up and poured on me water and did all those things. And then I was seated. For some reason, it was so cold. I felt that cold. So they made me stand outside there in my underpants. And the whole night. And they were there mocking me. And I was there praying in tongues and just looking at them and pitying them. And then at some stage in the morning, one of them came and told me, Pastor. Then he said, what do you want me to do for you? Then I said, I'm tired of standing, I just want to sit. But you see, the orders had been that I should stand the whole night. So he put me in a corner and told me, you sit there, but when I hear me saying anything, jump up and stand. So I sat somewhere in the corner, and my legs really were tired. So sat there, then I had him say, Pastor! Praise the Lord. Now, so you see some people, when we say trust in the Lord, man, we trust in the Lord. I always trust in the Lord. Amen. And in all things, for everything. For everything. And I always remind myself of what I would have been if he hadn't chosen me. Glory to God. Because where we are going, you have to keep on reminding yourself. Because you're there, you don't know who you are until God unveils you to you. Then you realize all along you are some serious person. Now, if you've not prepared your heart, amen, you can end up in a bad place. You can end up in a bad place. But you see, prepare your heart like David. You know, I love what that guy. Oh, he was king for 40 years. But even at the end of the 40 years, he still reminded himself how he was just a shepherd boy whom the Lord picked up and made him command over his people. He never forgot who he was. Never at any one stage did he forget that I was just a shepherd boy. And the Lord is the one who picked me up and made me king. Now, some of you, after just being king for 5 years, you've forgotten. I'm not even saying king. I'm saying something less than king. I remember some guy who said, what poor man can be. Somebody came from poverty and got some money. And then he would say, like, and I used to look at him and he would be there with, I wonder how even people fly economy. That you mean they are so squeezed like chicken. This is a guy who was very poor the other day. But just after a few years of work, he's already talking like he was born in Egypt. Now for them, when they are flying with the family, it's the maid who is in business class. All of them are in the first class. And they even wonder how human beings can be in the world. How do you survive? Don't you choke? But human beings are so interesting. Why? Now, the interesting thing is this. The next minute, it has all gone. It went very bad, but they even ended up in prison. I'm sure when he was in prison, he knew how people survived in the world. Not that, of course, I'm glad that he was. Because he was a very good guy. But you see, the thing is, now, contrast that with David. 40 years being king. 40 years as king. And you still go and pray and say, God, thank you because you took me from being a shepherd boy. And if you had not taken me, I would not be where I am. And you chose to be king. And you still have that in your 40 years. 40 years. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason I'm telling you that, some of you have to prepare yourself. Now, somebody, otherwise, if you don't prepare yourself, and don't let somebody come and pass your life. Don't let, because I know people come, they try things, they're impatient, they don't have any sense of honor, they don't have any sense of putting God first. And then when things don't work out, they blame the place where they are. So many of them have come here and left. But I know I have anointing of what? Of mutating. And some people are going to be demonstrators of it. Others will go and try their luck elsewhere. Either way will be okay. But I really wish you knew that God is so into, at this moment, what badly wants to turn, to shape the nations. He says one more time. He says it in Hebrews again. One more time. I'm going to shape the nations. One more time. And then I'll take the desire of the nations. Everybody will run, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he says, now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Go ahead. Let's not go into the details. But now he says he's shaking the earth and the heaven. But in Haggai, he says the silver and the gold are mine. That is the shaking. What was once known to be here is going to be known to be you. But are you ready? Answer me, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Man, I'm seeing millionaires here, man. You can't even know how much gold wants. Because you see, when power and wealth belong to evil. People will turn in the direction of evil. You know that. So it is God's will that power and wealth belong to what? To him, to his children, to his righteous people. If only they can actually conceptualize that they deserve to be this, they are this place, they are willing to pursue his purpose. Now you see those people whom you see there. You hear somebody has all this money and so on. They are all using it for a purpose. There is nobody who is sitting with money, you know it. They are using their money to spread evil, spread discord, spread that they are really actively using it. Now, would you do that? If you had it, I mean, would you do the same for the kingdom of God, is what I mean? If you had it, would you actually not be holding it? You know, now this is my God. I'm not going to touch it until I have this much, until I have this much. They say, God, if you give me another 100 million, then I will give. You're lying yourself. Like you said, you go with this scripture, because I'm going to end now. You go with, just remember this. Go to the other scripture of 2 Corinthians. What does it say? It says, for if there is first a willing mind, what shows that the mind is willing? It is accepted according to what one has, not according to what you do not have. Okay? I'll say it again. Let's read it together. Okay? Start now. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. So if you're waiting to have all the billions before you have any impact, then man. If you're waiting, if your mindset is one of solving problems, I can assure you already. Not for me. If you see yourself not as someone who deserves, you know, and there are people who have all sorts of, there's a guy who was speaking about, I remember some fellowship, a gentleman was speaking about giving and saying how, I did this and then, I was blessed in this place and all that and so on. And now he's teaching people how to, walk in this thing. And he has walked in it and he knows and he has a testimony. But then, for instance, after the service, people come and surround him. Man, can you give me some money for this? Can you give me some? Now those people need to be slapped, all of them. Because they have not learned anything and they are going to be broke all their lives. I can guarantee you, if that's your attitude, you won't be broke all your life. Somebody is teaching you something that is going to be of value to you, that has been of value to him. But for you, all you see is that, yes, you have a lot. Let us wait. Now, if I told you the person who told me that testimony of their partnership, I can guarantee you about 3 or 4 people who are approaching after here. 3 people who have chosen to be what? Broke all their lives. I'm telling you, that's how it works. That's how it works. Because when somebody doesn't see beyond that substance, they are never going to go anywhere. Never. Never. Until they change their mindset. Now, somewhere, somehow, while 3 or 4 will approach for money, others will approach and say, what did you do? How did you make this happen? How come it works? So you mean I can also do this? Now, those are the ones who are headed somewhere. Those are the ones who are going to be jubilating next year. Amen?
Amen.
If somebody thinks about this, and all they are thinking about, and now you see, I'm trying to show you big things, panda, what? And for you, all that is going on in your mind is your parade. You are going to be at the level of parade for your life. Because you cannot be stirred up. You are like that generation which Jesus said. He said, what book is that? Luke chapter 8. When he says that this generation, somebody plays for you, get me that verse. Happy music, you don't dance. Somebody plays for you, sorrowful music, you don't cry. Like you cannot be stirred up. What kind of people are you? Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Get me the scripture. But what shall I like in this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions. Okay? Go ahead. And say, we played a flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. Okay? Now, go ahead, the next verse. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and he said he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and he said, look, a glutton and a white viper, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Now, wisdom is somebody comes and tries to stir you up, and you stand up. Praise the Lord. And you're sufficient to stand up. Now that's wisdom. You're not like that generation which Jesus is saying. You're there indifferent. Totally indifferent, apathetic, you don't care about anything. You need that. So, what do you want? We play for you happy music, you don't dance. Yeah? We play for you sad music, you don't mourn. You're just there. And by that, apathetic people are the most difficult people to deal with, by the way. Because you know that all the stoic people. And what makes people stoic so much is intellectualism. They're unmoved. They cannot be moved. Now, we are different. When we are stirred up, what I'm sensing is the will of God. Right? Next year, I want you to be excited about next year. Amen?
Yeah.
I want you to be excited about this. Excited about this. Praise the Lord. In a way that now, the purposes of God and God be here. Because I am here. The Father.
Amen.
I am here, the what?
Yeah.
Now you put yourself in that position and see what God is doing. What do you think goes through God when he sees those people I was telling you about? Who are too hungry, they have to be drunk to be saved. They are drunk permanently. Now let me also tell you this. When you give them food, they eat very little. Do you know why? They are worried about where they are going to go after. They are not going to eat. There is no decent to it. So when you give them food, they eat little. Enough for the body to work. Because they have no place to put the excess. Here in Kampala. Now, what do you think God sees? Feels when he sees those people whom he created. That's why he needs funders. Like Thomas. I am a fan. Yeah. You must stand up and say, stand up and say, I'm a founder. Yeah? Hey, who else? Okay, now everybody repeat after me. Say, I'm ready for next year. I am going to be a conduit. What God wants to do. I am going to be a founder. Some people will be founders for families, others will be founders for Project International. But ultimately, some people will be funders for projects which are international.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, open your mouth and the Lord will feed it. As wide as you can open it, so shall he feed it. If you open it wide, he will make you something that you did not dream you would ever become. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
First of all, you make you, of course, dream it, and then you'll become it. Amen? God bless you.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.